Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, City View. How you guys doing? Thank you, five of you. Hey, well, I hope you guys are having a good day. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. We got some new dads I know in the house that are going to be dads within the next few months. So congrats to the new dads. Hope you guys are having a good day. Hey, don't forget, as you guys leave, we've got arcade games for you dads to play. We got Dad's Root Beer outside, so make sure you take advantage of that. And enjoy yourselves. Hope you guys have a great day. Because it's Dad's Day. And, I've heard it said that Dad's Day is every day. It should be, we should get more Mother's Days, is what I've heard from moms, but I don't know. And then Tony thinks that Father's Day was created by dads because they were jealous of moms because they got a day, and he doesn't think it's right because dads get lots of days off, but who knows. But I hope you guys are having a good weekend. It's been a pretty low-key, what was it, a low-key weekend? Yeah, it was. My parents had my kids for Friday night, and so all the way till Saturday evening, and so I didn't have any kids, and it was, like, nice to wake up not having kids and just, I mean, I still woke up at 5:30, which is, why do you do that when you're old? like, sleeping in, I don't see that anymore, but it was nice, so. It was a good weekend. So we're continuing our series, The Greatest Stories Ever Told. And what we're doing through this series is we're looking at stories Jesus told. Because Jesus was the best storyteller we've ever seen. He was able to tell a story that could connect to people's hearts, show them an amazing truth, and then help them walk into the kingdom. And that's what Jesus did. And so we've been looking at different stories that he told and what can we learn from them. And I have a question for you guys as we get into today's. Have you ever dropped a penny? Who dropped a penny? Who dropped a penny and you didn't even care? Because you're like, I've got more of them. Who needs a penny? I mean, I think a lot of us, if we see that we just dropped a penny and we watch it roll, we're like, it's just a penny. Do we do that? And we just like, it's just a penny. You see, I think many of us, we drop a penny. Now, if you drop a dime, you might think, I might want that. It's silver. Fake silver, but it's still silver. You drop a quarter, you drop a buck, you're for sure going to go get it. But a penny, if you just drop a penny, we don't care. And if you lose it, if you watch it roll underneath, now if it's a token to like Peter Piper, you'll go after it. But if it's just a penny and it goes underneath, we don't care. Even though you know exactly where it is, we don't go after it. We don't care. I remember a few years ago, my wife lost her wedding ring. And that wasn't the first time, but we've usually found it. But this time she lost it. And I remember looking and looking and looking, and she calls me, and she's like, I don't know where it is. And she felt so bad, and her dad came over, and they're taking everything out in the car. I mean, they've looked everywhere. She's calling Fry's grocery store, anywhere she could think where she might have taken it off. I don't know how many of you ladies, when you, like, after you do most anything, you take your rings off, and then you put lotion on your hands. Is that anybody in here? That's my wife. So she's like, did I put it on my lap and get out of the car? And then it fell out. I don't know, but it was gone. And I remember looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking for it. And I remember her heart feeling so sick because it was gone. And we thought it was gone. We thought it had been lost forever. And I'm going, I can't save up. I have bills and everything else now for one of those. I don't know if I could. It's going to take me forever to save up and buy her another ring. And in my mind, that's my first thought, is I want to get her a ring as quick as I can, but they're expensive. And then one day, 6 months later, we are in the car, and she drops her, like, makeup brush thingy. I don't know what it's, not mascara, it's the brush. The little one, I don't know what it's for, ladies, but she dropped it. I might even be doing the wrong place of where it was, but she dropped this thing that you use for makeup. I don't commonly use it, about once a week, but she dropped it between the chairs, and she goes, and so I get out of the car to go get it, and guess what I find? Her ring. You see, and the joy that you get when you find what you've been looking for so long, isn't it an amazing joy? You see, Jesus tells a story about a father who looks for something that got lost as well, and the joy it brought him when he found it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for today. God, I thank you that you are a God who loves, that you are a God who cares. Lord, I thank you that you're not just God up there, but you are our Father. A Father who cares, a Father who loves, and a Father who desires what's best for us, your kids. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us and encourage us this morning. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to those that are at churches all over the valley today, Lord, whatever church they're at. Lord, if they're at the church at Estrella, Desert Bible Church, or Gateway, Lord, wherever your people are, God, I ask that you'd speak to them and speak to us at City View. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Father's Day can be a great day for some, but really hard for others, can't it? For some people, Father's Day is just dads look forward to it. Whole family, they know it's going to be a barbecue or something. Like, they really look forward to the day. Other people, Father's Day is not the best day. You see, some of us, we know our dads, or we knew our dads, and we loved our dads. Others of us, we didn't know them. Some of us, we loved our dads. Some of us, we didn't. Some of us were loved by our dads, and others of us weren't. Some of us are dads, and some of us aren't, and we really wish we could be. See, Father's Day, for many of us, for many people, can sort of sting. Some, it can be joyful. But here's one truth I want each of us to know. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father and a perfect example for each and every one of us to look at. And Jesus tells a story about a father in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, Jesus tells a story. And he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which had not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So Jesus here tells this story. He's speaking to this group of people. And he tells this story about this shepherd, the shepherd that has 100 sheep. And he said, okay, guys, imagine a shepherd. And you see, shepherds in those days were not people that were looked up to, but everybody knew a shepherd. Everybody knew what it was like to know a shepherd, to have sheep around. They knew it. Sheep were an important part of the Jewish community. You know why? Because sheep meant sacrifice, meant forgiveness, meant being able to have a relationship with God. Sheep were important. Sheep were a key thing for the people of that community, of the Jewish people, of the society, for them. And so they knew about shepherds, and so they would know how important every single sheep, every single lamb was to the shepherd. And so he says, imagine you have a shepherd, and so they can all picture it. They might have even been in a field. So if you can picture, maybe Jesus is speaking to this crowd, and he says, so imagine a shepherd, and he points over to these sheep. And, you know, if I could do, like, illustrations like I did last week, I'd have all these sheep in here, but that would smell. So he says, you know, imagine over here. He goes, imagine you have a shepherd. Like, okay. He goes, and he has 100 sheep. So you probably have one kid over there going, because you know those people that always count? I remember being at my grandma's church, and I would always count the rafters. I would count anything possible to count at church because it was so boring. So boring. I hope I'm never boring. Judah, you've got to tell me, Dad, you were really boring today, so you got to keep me relevant, okay? Okay, it's my son. He's in here now because he's in seventh grade. Crazy. And so Jesus, you know, you have that one kid that's counting all the sheep. He goes, no, that shepherd only has 75. Hey, Jesus, you're wrong. I don't know. Who knows? But he goes, you have the shepherd. He has 100 sheep. And he tells them a truth that they all assumed. He goes, if one went astray, wouldn't he go after the one? They all knew that about the shepherd. They all knew that the shepherd was that kind of guy. They all knew that he was a guy that if he had 99, he'd leave the 99 to go for the one. And people are like, but what about the 99? Well, in custom, as the custom would say, and as I studied, they would actually leave the 99 to another shepherd. Hey, will you keep an eye on these ones for a bit while I go look for my one? The one that went astray. You see, we might look going, but he has 99 more. What's the point? Can't you just buy a sheep? Aren't they cheap? I don't know. I've never bought one before. But you see, I think to some of us, we might think, but isn't it just like a lost penny? You see, and you might think, am I just a lost penny? You see, we look at this, and Jesus, we look at this story, and Jesus is telling the story, but what he does is at the end, he ties it, and he says, and you're just as important to your Heavenly Father as that sheep is to that shepherd. And Jesus is tying the story, getting them to all understand the importance of this one sheep to this shepherd. And so they're all getting it. They're like, yeah, it's of course it's important. One, I mean, he would lose money if he lost that sheep. His boss, because those probably aren't his sheep, he's probably working for somebody whose sheep those are. Those sheep, that might be one that's really special to somebody because that might be their year, their atonement lamb. That might be what is sacrificed for them. So this is an important. So to that shepherd, it meant everything. And so they're really, it's clicking for them. They get it. They understand the illustration. They understand this parable that Jesus is telling about the shepherd that lost one sheep. And then he says, and you're just as important to your Heavenly Father. At the very end, verse 14 says, so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones would perish. And if you go earlier, Jesus is talking to this group and he's pointing at children how important it is to have faith like a child. And Jesus is wanting them to understand the heart of the Father. We're going to go over 5 things of what makes a good father that we get from this passage here, from three verses. I found 5 things, and there's probably so much more, but I didn't want to have like 12. I thought 5 is... it's pretty good. The first thing, your good father, because that's who God is, your good father pursues you. Your good father pursues you. It says there in verse 12, it says, and that shepherd goes after and searches for the one that's gone astray. You see, a good shepherd takes their job seriously. They love their sheep. That shepherd loved his sheep. He took his job seriously. And when one went missing, he went looking. He didn't go, you know what, I'll just look in the morning. I'll sleep on it. Maybe he'll come back. I'll yell his name. He didn't do that. He went searching right away. And that's the heart of your Father God. He will pursue you. You may think, God, why do people keep inviting me to church? Or why does my child or whoever, why do they invite me every Father's Day or every major holiday? Or God, why do I feel like every time I go to work, somebody's talking about God or this happens and this happens? Or why is it that I feel like this? Because God is pursuing you. He's pursuing you. And some of you may be sitting on the edge and you may be sitting sort of on the edge when it comes to your Christian faith. You go to church and you do enough. And you feel like God keeps nudging you to do more. You feel like, why does the pastor always want people to serve? Why is he always asking this? Why do they talk about money? Why? And then you're like, is it that all they're about? And it might be God just nudging you saying, hey, can you take the next step of faith with me? You might wonder, why is it when I turn the music on, it's always this song? Or why is I going to Chick-fil-A, they're always playing Christian music? Well, it's because that's just what they do. You might wonder, okay, God, what is it? It's because your Heavenly Father, no matter who you are or what's going on in your life, no matter how far or how close, he's always pursuing a deeper relationship with you. Today I was just praying. I'm like, God, I need a verse. I need something today. How many of you read the verse of the day in YouVersion Bible app? Do we all get the same verse? Is it be still and know? Psalm 46:10. That's it, right? So we all read it today? Who read the Bible verse of the day? Open your YouVersion Bible app, and that's the verse for today. If it's not, then I don't know. But I think we all get the same verse. It's not? We all get different ones? Or was that yesterday? Today's something about fathers, right? Yeah, today's about fathers. So it was yesterday. Yesterday. It was yesterday. Yesterday was be still, no. Fathers is good. I'm glad they did a father's verse. For God and all that. That's good, nice. But I was like, man, God, I just need to be encouraged. And I'm outside and taking my dog to the bathroom because that's what you do. And I opened my YouVersion Bible up, and there's the verse, a verse that God has spoken to me so many times. The first time he spoke to me was It was the spring semester of 1998 in college. And I remember reading that going, man, God, I need something. Read Psalm 46, verse 10, and God says, be still. Cease striving. Chill out. That's what that word means, to cease striving, to be still. It has the idea of chill out. Stop working so hard and just know that I'm God. And I love how even in that moment where I am feeling overwhelmed and I'm just feeling like there's so much, God is pursuing me. Your good Father pursues you. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. You see, Jesus is a picture of our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus came. He came that we might see an image of what God really is like, of God's true character. And Jesus says this about the character of God. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. To seek, not just seek, but to save those who are lost. That's the heart of God. That's the love of God. And number two, your good Father knows you. Verse 12, it says, and he's searching for the one. You know, and as each little lamb came in, he's like, there's Henry, there's Georgia, there's Henrietta, because they're brother and sister. There's, there's Austin, there's Kylia, there's David, there's Pepper and Olive. You know, he's naming all of them. And then he says, where's Sam? Where's Sam? I'm missing Sam. And he notices the one that's missing. He knew everyone by face, by shape, by name. He knew everyone exactly what they sounded like, looked like, and they knew him. And he knew right away as he's looking for them, and he may not have numbered them. He may just have been looking at the crowd, just looking at them, and he noticed Sam's missing. I've got to find Sam. You see, your good Father knows you. He knows you. Have you ever thought about that? That God knows you? And I mean, how good is God? I don't know how many verses there are in the Bible. How many, anybody know that right off the top of their head? I'm sure you can Google it. Hey, Siri, where's my phone? It should turn on. Just tell me. I don't know where my phone is. That's good. But I'm sure, I don't know, there's probably a couple thousand verses in the Bible. New Version Bible app comes up with a new one every day. There's at least 365, occasionally 366, right? That's how many days there are in a year? 31,000? Okay. Of the 31,000, how many again? Of the 31,102 verses, yesterday was just, it was one of those days where I'm like, God, I need a word from you. And God knows me so well. He goes, well, Jeremiah, I've used this verse in your life multiple times, and I think this is what you need to know from me again today, because you keep striving. You need to stop working so hard, because God knows me. He knows me. He knew what I needed. You see, your God knows you. He knows you. Our Father, it says in John chapter 10, the gatekeeper opens, John chapter 10, verse 3 and verse 14, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name. By name. I try really hard to get to know as many of your names as possible. My brain's about full, but I try, and I forget. So if I ever come to you and say, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, don't be mad. Just be happy that I'm trying. Please, don't take offense. It's not that you're not important. But I love here Jesus sharing about the Father heart of God and the love of God, and he says, and he knows them by name, and he leads them out. And verse 14 says, and I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. You see, you have a good Father. You have a good Father who pursues you. You have a good Father who knows you, and he notices you. That's something that we forget. He not only knows you, but he notices you. You see, my kids, it's amazing. As I shared, I think a couple weeks ago, sometimes I think my name is dad, 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 dad. not just once. It's like five dads. And I don't know if they just are on this like skip. It's sort of like a record, and that's just sort of what kids do. Dad, 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 dad. It's like that's sort of how you got to get dad's attention. And then usually my wife says, honey, what? And then I notice. You see, God notices you. You know those times when you, and I know maybe it's for you young people, and you know when you do something and you hope somebody saw you do something really cool? Like you do a bottle flip and you're like, did anybody see? I just did like a quadruple bottle flip right now. Did anybody see? And you're hoping somebody says, hey, I saw that. I try, if I ever see a young person do something that they're hoping somebody noticed, I always try to say, I saw that. My son Joel today, he was shooting the basketball hoop that's over there. We have a basketball, dad's, you know, there's a basketball hoop, one of those arcade game basketball hoops out there. And Joel took a step back, you know, a big old Curry step back. He's probably, I mean, he's a good 5 feet away from even where you're supposed to be at the hoop. And he shoots it. And you know what his first thing was? It wasn't that he made it. He looked to see what? Who noticed? The first words out of my mouth were, Joel, I saw that. Good shot. You see, your father, he knows you, and he notices. Out of 100, he notices the one. I remember I emailed this pastor once. He and I had met a couple times, and we had actually hung out. And we both were church planters, and he planted about a year or two ahead of me. And I emailed him, wanted to ask him a question. I emailed him, and he goes, who are you again? In the email. I emailed him back, you're such a, no, I didn't say that. Wanted to. I didn't. But I just thought, man, I'm glad God doesn't forget me. I'm glad I really didn't care. But you see, God does. He knows. And this shepherd notices even one. And so it continues, verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 18. If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you that he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have not gone astray. Your good Father rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. It says in verse 13, if it turns out that he finds it, finds the one, truly I say to you, he rejoices over you. When was the last time someone rejoiced over you? When was the last time somebody said, man, you're doing a great job. You're doing amazing. Thank you so much for all you do. Hey, you know what? I really appreciate it. When was the last time somebody rejoiced over you? Because your Father does it every day. He can't get enough of rejoicing over you. He can't. He loves to rejoice over those who are found, and he loves to rejoice over the kids that he has. He doesn't stop rejoicing over his kids. It doesn't stop. But man, when the one comes home, when the one says, I'm done chasing the life that I don't need to chase, when the one says, you know, I'm done doing this, and comes home, when he's found, when the one that is found, God rejoices even more. He rejoices even more. You see, I think sometimes the reason why we don't come back to God, the reason why we're so standoffish, because we think God is waiting there. Sort of like, you know when you finally have to apologize to your parents and they sort of have that look and you're dreading the, I told you, you shouldn't have done it. You're dreading the words that are going to come out of their mouth. You ever been there? I mean, I've been there. And you know that you're about to get in trouble. You know you're about to hear the all the stuff that you shouldn't have done. You know you're about to hear the laundry list of all, you've been there? You see, I think we take that into our relationship with God. But it says here that God rejoices over this one more than the 99 that stayed. Because it finally came home. He finally found it. Your God rejoices over you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. If you don't have this underlined, if you have a paper Bible, underline it. If you've got YouVersion Bible, click on it because it'll just highlight it for you. Whatever you want, if you're going to post a verse today, post this one right here. Look at this, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm you with your fears. Man, that's good, isn't it? That's good. And then it says, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Man. God takes delight in you. He calms your fears. And he rejoices with singing. He rejoices with singing. To me, as I think about this moment, as I think about this verse, and I'm a visual person, and I sort of picture, you know, that moment when, and I'm so sorry, I lied to you guys a couple weeks ago. I was told I need to apologize. Raptors, you did a good job. Great job, Raptors, and Kawhi, and all of you, if you're watching right now, Kawhi, good job. You never know. You might watch. You never know. You know, I apologize. They did a good job. But when I picture this moment of this delight and this praise and this excitement, I picture that party that happened in that moment when they won. And how much delight was had. How much excitement was had in that moment. And I picture God, that kind of excitement, that kind of rejoicing over each and every one of us. This rejoicing that he is just so happy that we came back to him. You see, we have a God who pursues. We have a God who knows. We have a God that rejoices. The fourth thing, we have a God who finds value in you. He finds value in you. Verse 13, it says, and more than the 99. More than the 99. What is something you value in? If it were lost or stolen and you were not happy and you were not happy and then you were not happy that it was lost, all of a sudden you're happy when it was found, what finds value when it comes back? Is it your family, your car, your clubs, a gaming system? You see, your Heavenly Father finds value in you. Finds value in you. You may not find value in yourself. You may look going, but what good do I do? God's not looking at what good you can do. That's part of our problem. We look going, what good can I do? He goes, all I ask is that you be my kid. Can you just do that? I'm not asking you to be the best mom, best dad. Can you be the best this, best that? We all fail. I stink at pretty much everything some days. Most days. A lot of days. I can just be a huge mess up. I do that. And I'm not going, but God, I can't be good enough. God's like, I'm not asking you to be good enough. I find value in you. Not because I'm good enough. Not because I'm strong enough. Not because I bring anything to the table. But because Jesus died for me and made me that way. That's why I'm good enough. That's why God sees value in me. He sees value in me because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus tells this story and he wants the crowd to realize how personal the Father is. You may not find any value in yourself, but maybe you've forgotten what truly is valuable. Have you ever heard that saying, one man's junk is another man's treasure? Some of you might feel like the junk, but God sees treasure. But you can't get past that because you just feel like junk. Maybe something's been done to you. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've done things you shouldn't have done. And you're like, I don't deserve it. God doesn't ask if you deserved it. He asks us if you want it. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be cared for? You see, God sees in each and every one of you a treasure. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31 says this. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Now, some of you, it doesn't take very long to number them. But it's okay. God doesn't count hairs as much. It's not as important. It says, but don't worry. Don't be afraid. You are more valuable than a single sparrow or a single hair to God. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. See, we've forgotten what is truly valuable. God sees value in the broken and the lost, and he finds them and he makes them whole. Then it says in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 18, so It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You see, we have a good Father who pursues you, who knows you, who rejoices over you, who finds value in you. And the fifth thing is, you have a good Father. Your good Father protects you. It says there at the end of verse 14 that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus now is tying it back into what was happening earlier with this crowd and all these kids. He says in verse 10 and 11, Matthew chapter 18, you may go, wait, I don't have a verse 11. If you're reading in the New Living, you don't have a verse 11. If you're reading in the ESV, you might not have a verse 11. Some translations have it, some don't. Some, it's not that it was added. It's a whole other story. You can ask me later. NASB says this. Jesus now ties it all in. He says in verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continue to see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm sure you've all heard about guardian angels. This is one of the places where we know God has angels that watch over us. Now, do you have one special angel? No, you've got a ton of them. Have you ever been in that moment where you've almost gotten in a car accident? You feel like somehow something stopped? There's angels. Those are real. And they really are out to keep an eye on us. You're like, well, why didn't they stop that one thing? I don't know. My kid asked me the same question this week. Why didn't God stop this stuff that happens in life? And I don't know why. You see, in that culture, kids didn't have much value. In America, kids have a lot of value. If you go to a lot of other countries, kids are more like, hey, stay away when the adults are talking. It's just sort of how it is. In this culture, it was the same, but Jesus says, no, not in my culture. Not in my kingdom. Kids count in my kingdom. Because kids get it. When we get old, we forget to have faith. We forget to trust. We forget to believe. You know, you see those movies about Santa Claus and all that and how kids have this faith and adults don't. And whether you believe, you know, whatever, where we stand on Santa, it doesn't matter. But what I like is that they're pointing out that kids have a faith that we've lost. Kids see a joy that we don't. Kids have a trust that we've forgotten about. And Jesus says, do not lead one of these astray. Jesus also says earlier, you must have faith like a child. You must have faith like a child. You see, our God is protecting us. And you may look going, but why do bad things happen? Why, you know, why is this going? Or why is this going? And we sometimes think, well, is he going to protect me in this moment of this cancer or whatever's going on? Yes, sometimes that happens. But what God wants to protect us, what your Father wants to protect you from more than anything is hell and damnation. That's what Jesus wants to protect us from. He wants to protect us from that eternal damnation where so many people will spend eternity there. He wants to protect us from that. And that's why Jesus came and he died on a cross just to protect us, to keep us from that. You see, that's the Father heart of God. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 30, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can ever snatch them away from me. For you, my Father, has given them to me. And that word given there, that idea of that word given, holds the meaning of a special gift being given. That's what that word given means in the Greek. It holds so much more than just a gift. It's that time where that guy is finally proposing to his girlfriend. It's that moment where it's a special gift that he's giving. He saved up, and he finally gets to give that gift. That's the kind of gift. That's that word given. When Jesus says, for my Father has given, it is a special gift. It's not a throwaway gift. It's a special gift. That's what that word means. Given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. And no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. For the Father and I are one. You see, Jesus desires to give us eternal life that we might be protected. You see, you have a good Father, and many of us have forgotten how good He is. You have a good Father who pursues you, who knows you, who rejoices over you. He finds value in you, and He desires to protect you. Lord, I thank You that You are such a good Father to us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.